Hi, my name is Nadia Winstead. It's really great to be here with all of you. Thanks for coming, and it's great to be here with everyone on this panel. I'm really glad we're having these conversations and this discussion. These issues are very close to my heart, and I'm happy to share my story with you this evening. And I have a little speech prepared. And I've been involved and a supporter of the animal liberation movement for many years. I took part in the Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty Campaign, also known as SHAC. During that time, I helped organize and participated in many public demonstrations. As people in my movement started dealing with process servers, lawsuits, restraining orders, and ending up in jail or prison for their activity, I began to focus on prisoner support. I learned how important it is to show strong solidarity with our comrades who are in prison. This gave me the opportunity to make connections with other political prisoners and their movements. Everything really came to a head for me when I was subpoenaed to a federal grand jury in May 2005. I resisted it fully and, with a lot of luck and an amazing legal team, didn't go to jail after about a year and a half of continuous court appearances and harassment. So this is why I've been asked to speak here tonight. I want to talk about what happened to my community, how we got through it, and the bridges that were built in the face of oppression. On May 24th, 2005, myself and nine other individuals were served with subpoenas to appear before a federal grand jury in San Francisco. That's where I live, by the way. For a few of us, these subpoenas followed the raids of our homes, which happened a month earlier. As soon as we got our subpoenas, we started organizing our legal team. The subpoena had made it very clear to each other and to our lawyers that we would be resisting completely, and that probably meant going to jail. We took our time to develop the framework of our support. We knew we weren't going to go down quietly, so we got a media point person, and we got folks to work on the press release and had a friend create a website and a listserv. And we got ready to put out a call for a mass resistance demonstration. This kind of solidarity, knowing my community and friends were there every step of the way, made it possible to face the potential and likelihood of going to jail. I would like to talk about how it was very natural for me to resist. I hope I can inspire some of you here this evening to stand in solidarity with all grand jury resistors. And if the authorities ever harass or question you, that you will not talk to them at all. This means not answering any questions asked by the authorities, no matter how harmless the question may seem, because they can twist your words to use them against you and the people you care about. Grand juries have been used against radical movements in this country since the abolitionist period. Anti-slavery activists were called before grand juries in efforts to intimidate and destroy their movement. Throughout the decades, individuals from just about every movement fighting for social change have been called upon by the state to give information about their communities. They've been used to silence and intimidate the following struggles: women's liberation, the labor movement, the Puerto Rican independence movement, Black Panthers and Black liberation, anti-imperialists and anti-war activists, and the American Indian movement. More recently, individuals from IndyMedia and the radical environmental movement, anarchists, animal liberationists, and again, Black Panthers have been called to testify before grand juries. Three things shaped my understanding of grand jury resistance. One, learning the history of state oppression against all liberation movements. Two, knowing that there's a legacy of resistance to those grand juries. And three, knowing that every person subpoenaed to a grand jury has a chance to be part of that legacy of active resistance against the state to protect their movement. This was not my first experience with the state harassing and imprisoning my community. Grand juries, home raids, surveillance, infiltration, and intimidation are not new to animal liberation supporters. We've been dealing with these forms of harassment for years. But as our movement continues to grow and persist, the frequency and severity of these incidents has escalated. Case in point, the AETA-4. It is ingrained in most of us to never compromise our beliefs and our struggle, especially in court. Having this ethic as a constant in my political life made me realize that I had no other option. I knew that I had to risk my freedom to resist the grand jury and stay true to my core values and ethics. I saw our subpoenas as a plot by the government to continue the intimidation of our movement and not something that was happening to us as individuals. I understood that we weren't exceptional, that there was a backdrop to the oppression that was coming down on us. it helped to know that we were feeling this new pressure because our movement was becoming more effective and a potential threat, not to life and limb, but to industry and above all profit. In a way, I took it as an affirmation and decided the best thing to do was to connect with other radical people who had similar experiences and try to do some effective community building in the face of harassment by the state. So right around the time we got our subpoenas, five former Black Panthers in their 50s and 60s were subpoenaed to a California state grand jury. Without talking to each other beforehand, each of them chose not to cooperate with a grand jury, and each of them was jailed. To this day, it was one of the most important and beautiful things I'd witnessed politically. The fact that each of these men resisted hands down after the state basically pulled them out of retirement to harass and intimidate them about something that happened in the 1970s. The fact that they still held true to their politics after more than 30 years was truly a beautiful thing to witness. It all made sense to me. They've always been under attack for being who they are and for fighting for self-determination. These men and their community will never cooperate or do business with the state, who has for decades upon decades done its best to delegitimize, intimidate, oppress, torture, and assassinate them. I got to witness their spirit, once a Panther, always a Panther, and I knew if they could resist at this stage in their lives that I, as a younger, healthy person, could handle the simple task at hand. My friends and I took this as an opportunity to humbly show our support to these extraordinary people who came before us in struggle and who inspired us to fight in the first place. After I was found in civil contempt for not answering questions, the judge let me stay out of jail pending appeal. On December 22nd, 2006, we got a response from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They agreed with our appeal that the government had not met their burden of proof to whether they had used illegal electronic surveillance against me. They overturned my contempt order and remanded the case for further proceedings on our motion. We didn't hear back from the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the harassment pretty much stopped. So no indictments came from this grand jury, and as far as we know, it died at the end of its second session. I would like to touch on the AETA-4 quickly before I close. These individuals are facing terrorism charges for allegedly using tactics that used to be protected under the First and Ninth Amendments. These same tactics were very popular during the Shaq campaign. Now they are considered acts of terrorism. My community went through the Shaq 7 indictments and trial with our friends who were convicted of interstate stalking by way of a website. Since their conviction, we have supported them through prison. When the AETA-4 were arrested on these bogus charges, we offered our experience and support. Their struggle has not been easy, and they have a long road ahead of them and the burden of fighting this for all of us. They will continue to need our support. It is important that the government is fought every step of the way as they try to set this unconstitutional precedent, which would make certain forms of public activism acts of terrorism. So should the state come knocking for you, know that you're not alone. There are resources and very experienced people to support you and offer solidarity. We need to set consistent examples of non-cooperation. We must stand in solidarity with all resistors who came before us and use everything in our power to oppose the state's unjust system. We can send a message that they can try to lock us up, but we will not talk. We will not contribute to their ongoing oppression. Please stay strong, stay safe, and thank you for having me here this evening, and thank you for your future.